Now, real people, real opinions, Nighttime Talk.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
First up tonight, we turn our attention to a change affecting Irish motorists starting on March 31st. Providing your driver number will be mandatory when taking out or renewing car insurance policies. This initiative is part of the Road Traffic and Roads Act 2023, and it aims to enhance road safety and combat the problem of uninsured driving. The Motor Insurers Bureau of Ireland reports that in 2022, approximately 8.3% of private vehicles, that's equivalent to 1 in 12, were uninsured on Irish roads. That's totaling 187,803 vehicles. Now, we've received a message from a listener that demonstrates the dilemma that some are facing regarding car insurance. It says, I'm writing about my brother who has been driving without insurance for 3 years, living in rural Ireland with three kids on a low income. He says that affording car insurance is impossible, especially after a minor accident led to a €2,000 renewal quote. He says he prioritises feeding his family over insurance costs. My wife insists that I report him before something tragic happens, but I feel sorry for him with his situation. If I could help him financially, I would. I'm torn between family loyalty and legal responsibility. What should I do? Thanks, Damo. So this scenario raises a lot of questions. Will the new driver number requirement effectively reduce the number of uninsured drivers? Should our listener report his brother, considering the legal and ethical implications? And what measures can be put in place to address the issue of uninsured driving? Are the current insurance premiums prohibitively high, pushing people towards illegal actions? Let us know your thoughts on WhatsApp 087 188 0008 or get involved on social media on Facebook at Ireland's Classic Hits and on X at Classic Hits Radio. I'm going to go to Shane first. Hi Shane, how are you?
Hello, how are you doing? So first of all, on that subject, the insurance companies have known for years who has what and what's what. I mean, I'm sure most of your listeners know what it's like to ring up and get a quotation off any insurance company. They ask a litany of questions. First of all, they say calls are recorded for training quality, if you're lying, if you're this, if you're that. Once you give your name to them and the driver's number, they can ask you for a driver's number. Sure, most of them ask for a copy of your driving license, whether it's a screenshot or a photograph or whatever. Or they say they share the data. I have a colleague who works in insurance, and when they ask you, do you have any penalty points, they know straight away in front of them if you do or not. And a lot of them are, if you look at what happens, they ask you, have you penalty points? If for some reason you say no, they know you're lying before, you know, they don't have to question, my computer here or my system is saying you have three. They know you have. And what happens is, they let you continue on, they'll do the whole thing, they'll give you your quote, you'll insure your vehicle or whatever, and if an accident does happen, your insurance is null and void. So they're on a win-win situation. So there should be a law, that law should have been in yonks ago. I mean, if you put in a registration of a car now, it can tell you what litre it is, it can tell you all the details on the car. They're bringing new stuff in now, which you've seen it on RTE, with cars who are scrapped category, scrappage, whatever, category D or whatever. So you'd be able to put in, you know, for people who are in ripped off buying cars. But the insurance companies have all that information. They're linked in with RSA. So there's nothing new in this. But they are robbing people. There's no structure. There's no rhyme. There's no reason to their quotations. They're making millions from people. And this PIAB, this new thing that came out, with the personal injuries, which was a big bone of contention years ago. The sky was the limit with what claims were going in. Personal injury claims were, by dozens coming in. But now that's all stemmed. I mean, the government, there's a cap on everything, and it's not as easy now to claim personal injury. And, you know, you could ring an insurance company one day, they give you a quote, and you ring them another day, and you get a different quote. So if you look at it on a scheme of things, on any other industry, that most industries have a proper format they follow. If you live in a certain area, if you're a certain age, blah, blah, blah. There's no rhyme or reason to insure. They're picking figures from the sky, and they are robbing. It's Dick Turpin, at least he wore a mask. The insurance companies rob people. There's no ifs, ands, and buts. And you know what the saddest thing about it is? If you're a young person, particularly a male, very hard to get onto the driving market. And what that does for them, they're shooting themselves in the foot because, you know, we all get older. We get the way driving goes, you start off young, then you get older and your insurance starts to go up again because you're getting a bit less vigilant on the road. And these are our new generation coming onto the road. This is the future of Ireland coming on getting insurance, trying to get on the road, trying to make ends meet, whether it's a job or whatever they need a car for to get from A to B, and they're not even giving them a chance. I would well understand if you insured a young lad and he has a crash, you can load him then. But they're not even giving them a chance. They're shooting them down from the very outset. And yes, the government should be regulating that industry a hell of a lot more than what it's doing. Absolutely, all day long. They're let run riot. You like, you could ring up and get a quote and ring in a day later. And you know what they say? Oh, well, it changes day to day, or, you know, this. They'll tell you all excuses. There's no format. You can't say, can you break that down for me? Is it because one insurance company said, oh, you're driving an old car, that's why it's expensive. But your NCT is. It's roadworthy. And if it does crash, it's only worth €1,000. You look at electric cars now, you tip them, cost thousands. So that's not a good enough reason. They've given so many excuses. And personally, I think they've run out of them. But they're not giving young people the chance. And everything is in their favour. Everything. They hold all the cards, as Trump would say. They hold all the cards and they can take it. So the answer to your question is, it's driving people to drive without insurance. Yes. I'd have sympathy for young people nowadays. It's hard enough to get on the property market, for mind the driving market. You know, the cards are stacked against them. And it's high tide someone challenged insurance companies from the government and had a structure that's there. You know, there is room for competition. You have to have that. But the figures are just astronomical. They're out of this world.
Sorry, I'm just listening to everything you're saying because you're making some really, really valid points. And another thing that you've said as well, when you start driving, you have really high premiums. You're a young person, so therefore you're just given automatically a really high premium that is out of reach for a lot of people. And then as you start to get older again, then your insurance rates start to increase again. But I mean, I've been looking at data in terms of older drivers, and in actual fact, older drivers, although they're older and yes, like your eyesight is getting worse, you're a bit slower to react, older people do actually take better care, they take more responsibility and they're more self-aware on the roads. They tend to plan out their trips. They don't go on motorways if they feel uncomfortable. They don't drive at busy times. They go when it's quieter. They drive on roads that they know. They take better care. So to then automatically just push their insurance premiums up again is something that to me sounds pretty unethical as well.
Yeah, and it does happen. And look, we were all young once. And we can all remember when we were in our early 20s, you know, we want to get driving. And, you know, you need a chance. You give yourself, they should be giving them a chance in life, you know, a chance. And you know, for a young person, it's crazy. They're probably spending €1,000, €2,000 on a car, and they're probably paying another 3 or 4 or 5. God knows. It's sinful. It's absolutely sinful. I mean, it was expensive in my day, right? But you know what? In my day, you could go on as a name driver, build up a bit of experience. It wasn't that expensive. And, you know, you maybe do a year or two as a name driver, and that stood to you when you got. But it's gone way out of proportion now. It's like the housing market, sure. You know, they're picking figures from the sky. There's no way an insurance company can justify to me, especially, say, a 21, 20-year-old male or female. Doesn't matter. I know males are cheaper, or males are more expensive, and they have their reasons for that. That's fair enough. If it's 20% more, so be it. But it's not 20% more. It could be 400-500% more. I mean, they're just picking them from the sky. It's like as if they're saying to you, we don't want you. Go somewhere else. And we just don't want your business. And there's no rhyme or reason to that. And what they're doing is, they're killing off the future of their business, because that 20-year-old is going to be keeping their business going, because the person who's 70 is going to drop off the map. They're going to give up driving, and that 20-year-old is going to take the reins. Then they're going to start driving for the guts of 50 or 60 years, whatever. And that's our new generation coming onto our you know, they're
being short-sighted in that respect of alienating
correct.
These drivers when in actual fact they're going to be lifelong customers, perhaps.
Yeah. And they're forcing them, in some cases, to drive without insurance. They're going to get in trouble with the law. They're going to end up in court, and then they won't get insurance again. And that can have a really, really bad effect for a young person, you know, after being, if they're caught, you know, they're criminalised in relation to, no, I don't know what the offence is for driving without insurance. But, you know, and people say, well, why did you do it? If you live rural, you may not have that. You may not have the comfort. You know, you have to get a job. You're only 21. You're 20 miles from your job or 30 miles. The only way in and out is to drive. That's
yeah,
it.
They don't have the public transport. They don't have the infrastructure there, so they have to drive. And so people are forced to drive when they can't afford insurance premiums.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that's right. What I'm saying is we're not making it easy for people to do the right thing. You know, if I want you to do the right thing in life, I'm not saying I have to make it easy for you, but I can't put it beyond your reach to do the right thing. Do you know, there's a degree of responsibility and onus on me to give you a chance in life. Now, if a young person gets insurance and they go off and they write a car off and you say, right, we're loading you again. But we're not even giving them a chance. It's prejudice against them. And I know they have their statistics and they'll hit you with it and all that. But at the end of the day, you know, I'd say if insurance premiums came down and they were more generous to the younger generation, I would love to see, does their claims go up, you know. And road policing is important as well. I mean, if you've speed cameras out, you have all this good stuff going on, that curtails it as well. And you know, a young person, like when I was growing up, when I was young, you could speed and get away with it a lot easier than you can nowadays. Nowadays, the speed cameras, you have penalty point systems, you have the RSH, all linked in together. It's all linked in. But insurance companies are ripping people off because they know. I mean, all you have to do is give a colleague of mine that they know someone works in the insurance industry. And if you ring up, give your name, just give your license number. They know how many points you have. They know if you have any offences. It's up on the system. It's there. You know, the insurance companies have access to that. They can see that. And still they'll ask you the same questions. Have you ever been done for this? Have you any penalty points? And they know the answer to the question before they ask you. And that amazes me how they're led away with that. Because that's like leading, I don't get the terminology, it's like letting someone lie and not correcting them. You know, because they do say to you, if you give false information, it may affect your future ability to obtain insurance, right? And they ask an individual, have you any penalty points? They say no.
But the argument there is, Shane, is, well, you shouldn't lie then. You should just tell them the truth. You should just assume that they know.
Because you know what? Vicious circle again. If they say three, oh, sorry, we'll have to load another two or three or four grand on you. Well, if there was a system, say, if you have 3 points, your premium goes up 10%. If you've, you know, within reason,
yeah,
give or take.
Not made up numbers is what you're saying.
Yeah, you can't just say, oh, £2,000. Sorry, we're going to charge you £2,000. You have 3 penalty points, we're going to charge you £5,000. So,
yeah,
sorry,
yeah.
But,
I understand.
My computer says,
yeah.
You know, there's no, you have to make it, you have to make it fair for people to tell the truth, to be open, to be honest, and to say, right, this is me now. I've learnt my lesson, blah, blah, blah. You know, I hate saying it, but it doesn't take a whole lot now to get a few penalty points nowadays, because even the slowest drivers can get them with the speed limits that's around. I that's another day's discussion.
That's another one. Yeah, for another day. Stay with me there, Shane. Shane, I'm just going to bring Morris in on this because he's patiently waiting there on the line, and it's his birthday today, so we have to say happy birthday to Morris. How are you doing?
I'm grand. Just another year older. Please God, I'm a bit wiser.
Hopefully.
I've been driving a long time. I came into the army at 18 and I was driving in the army. So I've been on the road for over 45 years driving. And yeah, listen, I can understand Shane's argument, but one of the things I grew up with being an older or an elder lemon, if you don't tell lies, you won't get into trouble. If you tell the truth, you won't get into trouble. But
I think what Shane is saying, though, is just there's nothing, at least if you knew, oh, I've got 3 penalty points, my premium is going to go up by 10%. Whereas people are afraid
it's only 60
because
quid.
It's,
yeah.
They don't know what numbers they're going to be told. Sorry, go ahead, Morris.
Yeah, I know somebody in the industry and they said three penalty points is only an extra €60 in case you go speeding again. That's all they charge, you know. I think it's when you have claims against you. I had my daughter on my insurance one time and she crashed my car. Didn't hit anything else. She backed it into the house. And my premium jumped from 240 up to 750.
Oh, wow.
$3,000 worth of damage. Yeah, there you go. So that's, you know, that was 3 years ago. So I had 9 years claims bonus. But like I said, it's a cartel. Shane is right. They ring each other. They know each other. They pass information about each other. I've done it many times, rang up insurance companies, given all the information. And amazing the way the two companies or three companies come back with exactly the same quote. So that tells me they're in cahoots with each other, compared in prices and given the same quotes. But the only thing I told AJ or I told Molly when I was talking to her earlier on when I rang in was I noticed the other day I follow Garda traffic just to see what's going on around the city. Because to be honest with you, I'm driving in the same areas from 40 years ago and the same traffic jams are on the same roads in the same locations all over Dublin because I drive for a living. And what I said to Molly was, 14 cars were taken off the road in a Garda Sting the other night over in Ballymun. They had a checkpoint set up, and the first 14 vehicles that came along were taken off the road. They were put on the backs of trucks, and they were impounded. Every one of them was illegal. No tax, no insurance, learner driver, non-assisted driver. So, and one thing I said to Molly, if you do something once and you get away with it, you'll keep doing it. That's why the guy down the country, whose brother is driving, he's got away with it. He's doing it for 3 years. But being a conscientious person, I feel sorry for the people that he runs into and writes their car off and they've no claim because he's no insurance.
And that's the issue. That's the issue with uninsured drivers.
I know somebody that's married. He works. He has three children and a wife, partner. And an uninsured driver rammed him up the back in a 15-year-old car with no insurance. But he had false papers. He had a false tax disc, false insurance disc, false NCT, and he wasn't from Ireland. And he wrote off that guy's car. He's no car now, and he's a wife and three kids. And he won't get a penny.
And this
is the danger.
And this is the danger. Yeah. So, Morris, from what you're saying there, when you saw the cars, 14 cars being taken away, do you think that that's the answer? Is it just to have more guards out there?
Yeah, hit them in the pocket. Take the cars off them. If they're willing to take a chance and drive uninsured and either hurt somebody, kill somebody, or write off their car, the ultimate price is take the car off them, auction her off, and put the money into the fund for non-insured drivers who suffer at their hands.
And I mean, that's going to be the only way to do it, is to catch them before anything happens and take the car away.
Exactly. And auction her off and sell it and give it to the fund that we get caught on our insurance policies for 2% on your policy for people that suffer at the hands of non-insurance drivers. Take cars off people. No tax, no insurance, no nothing, no NCT. Take the car off them, put it into auction, sell it, and put the money into a fund for people that are maimed or killed or have their cars written off by these people that don't care about any of the rest of us on the road who are willing to pay our way.
Sounds reasonable to me. I'm just going to go to the ads, and when I come back, I'm going to speak to Sean. If you do want to get involved in this, guys, WhatsApp 087-188-0008. We'll be back after this. Welcome back to Nighttime Talk on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio with myself, AJ Walsh, sitting in for Niall Boylan. We're currently having a discussion about uninsured drivers, and I'm going to go to Sean. Hi, Sean. How are you?
How are you doing, AJ? How are you?
Not too bad.
Well, what a great discussion, I have to say, AJ. There's a lot of problems here. There's a major problem here with insurance, with drivers, across the board. You know, you're seeing already with the new, you know, reducing speed limits, how that is working out. You know, four deaths there on the roads there the weekend. God love to everybody.
Shocking. It's been really shocking.
You know, absolutely crazy. And you know, the fact of the matter is, AJ, I remember Pierce Doherty of Sinn Féin. You know, look, I'm not giving him a plug. I'm not into Sinn Féin. But I remember he was, you know, hell-bent on this, about giving out about, you know, how the insurance premiums were being dealt with, and that the claims were literally a quarter of what they used to be, you know. And these insurance companies are, you know, they're just dicing us. And, you know, I'm 25 years on the road. No penalty points, no nothing, you know, of me full no claims bonuses. And I was loaded by the two cars there that I have there. All in total, there are €450 this year. You know, my partner needs a car for a walk, and so do I. So the fact of the matter is, we're going up 450, and my partner's the same, full no-class bonus, no penalty points, no nothing. And we were both hit in the pocket, you know, of 220 and the 240, you know, which, you know, I'm under, you know, there's nobody regulating this anymore. It's just gone crazy. But the fact of the matter is, AJ, what I heard what before Morris there, what that guy said.
Shane.
Yeah, Shane. What's happening here is in Ireland, you know, we're being priced out of everything. You know, our gas, our ESB, our insurance, our, you know, the diesel, petrol. You know, everything is going up and everything, you know. And I mean, there's nobody stepping in for anybody here, i.e. the consumer. Nobody. You know, we have a government up there that's killing each other over speaking times and calling each other names and, you know, and this, that, you're. It's a fucking circus. It's an absolute circus. So what hope have we got for anybody to stand up for us? You know, there's nobody. You know, and I said this to Niall Boylan there not too long ago as well. I says, the country's a circus. They can do what they like. You know, gas and ESB bill prices going through the roof, but they're making, you know, 2.3, I think it was 2.3 million in profits last year. You know, so where is this going to stop? It's not going to stop. Because nobody's fighting for us, i.e. the consumer. People are being then, as what you said there, and that gentleman said there, Seamus, people are going, oh, sure, I'll take the chance. You know, I can't afford the insurance, you know. And I can understand, AJ, you know, and I, look, it's horrible to say this, but I can understand why people are driving without insurance. Because they need their car. They need to get their family from A to B.
Said this to me a few years ago, I'd have been like, oh my God, like people driving without insurance, that's shocking. Like, but from listening to the conversation tonight, it's like, I get it. I understand why people are doing it. And I think
I get it.
Maybe they don't understand the severity of the situation, though, driving without insurance and, you know, the outcomes that can come from that if they did hit somebody or anything like that. You know, maybe if people knew a bit more about it, maybe they'd think twice. Or as Mara said, maybe if they got caught before something happens.
Well, you see, but this is the thing. You know, they know the severity of it. That's the thing about it. You know, I had a friend of mine there, and I said it to him. I says, you're mad. Oh, no, look, I'll get the disc for the windscreen. Sure, look. You know, I says, look, MPRN or whatever your APRN, whatever cameras they have now on the backs of the guard cars, I says, they pick your edge up. They know everything. I says, what do you have? Oh, sure, look, it is where it is. I'll get the disc anyway. You know, I says, and they're paying their €200 deposit, whatever, their €300 down payment, and they're getting the discount, and, you know, and what have you not, and they're getting the insurance. And then they're not paying it, you know. But, you know, everybody knows that. That's an old wives' tale, you know. You know, they've coughed onto that many a moon ago, you know. But the fact of the matter is, it's happening. And, you know, it's just crazy. Like, you know, have you been... Look, we've all been on the roads, AJ. You know, what I'm shocked about as well, and I want to get this in before you go. The amount of people I've come across on a daily basis that are absolute idiots on the road is unbelievable. From the elderly down to the young, down to the foreigners, down to everything. The roads are an absolute fucking... Sorry. The roads are an absolute disgrace. They're an absolute disgrace. You know, you have everybody acting the idiot. Literally. Nobody cares anymore on the roads. You're putting your life on the line driving the roads today. I'm a professional driver. I've been a professional driver for 15 years. And, you know, I've given her up because of this. Because... there's no way in God's earth I can drive in that climate, you know, dealing with idiots on the road every day of the week, you know, whether it be an elderly person, you know, our own Irish or a foreigner, you know. I just can't deal with it anymore, you know. And I mean, hats off to anybody that has to drive on a daily basis to make a living, because I'm just looking at it and I'm saying, no fucking way, no way, no
Stay
way.
There with me, Sean. I'm just going to go to Julie. Hi, Julie, how are you?
I'm good. Look, insurance, like that man said, it is colossal. Like, there's no two ways about it, you know. But you have to pay it at the end of the day. I mean, like, you pay your house into well. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just a bill that you have to pay. But I don't know. I don't really know what to say on the matter, because.
But when you're priced out of
everyday life, I see it. Oh, I understand that. I 100% understand that. But the insurance is mental.
You said about insurance. you said about house insurance. I know people that can't afford house insurance.
But what about, are people paying their electricity?
Yeah, and they don't have it. So if you can't afford car insurance, don't get a car. If you knock somebody down and you're running short car, what happens then?
Look, it is. I'm not backing them up. They shouldn't be doing it. I said that the fact that they shouldn't
there
be doing
it. There you go.
But the fact that people are being pushed. No, there we go. Nothing. People are being pushed
there's
in.
No doubt about that they're doing it. There's no doubt about people are going around with no insurance on their cars. There's no doubt about it.
That's the problem.
But that's not my problem.
Because I never said it was your fault, did I? But the fact of the matter is, the insurance companies are getting away with more.
They need to take caution.
House insurance prices are gone through the roof. Health insurance prices are gone through the roof. Everybody, hold on for a minute. So, fair play to you for actually mentioning that. Let's go there. So people are cancelling their health insurance, their house insurance, and their car insurance because they can't fucking afford it. You're right. You're absolutely right. Fair play to you.
I don't want a fair play here.
Just let Julie talk now.
If you're driving a car and it's uninsured and you knock a man down, whose fault is that? Nobody's.
Never said it wasn't
so
the driver's fault.
The market has to be regulated and nobody's regulating the market. There's no point screaming and shouting.
Yeah, there we go, because I won the argument, because the fact of the matter is...
Sean, just let Shane come in there. Shane, go ahead.
Sorry, AJ, can I just say this, right? That girl's very loud. You have to understand, to fix any problems, right, people will do... They try to do the right thing in life, but what happens is, if you drive them into a corner that they can't do the right thing, you will always get the cohort of people that will take the chance. So you take a scenario where a lad has a job, and he's 20 miles from his job, and that's his bread and butter. That's what he's feeding his kids with. That's what he's paying his mortgage with, right? And he can't afford his car insurance for whatever reason. It's pushed up to $5,000 or $6,000. He can't afford it. Now, he has to do a risk assessment in his head, right? Do I take the chance and drive without it? I'm down the country. Probabilities of being stopped is, whatever, 5%. If I do the right thing by the law and not drive it, right, I have to lose my job. Now the whole house of cards comes down. So the consequences of doing the right thing by the law, which is not to drive his car, is he loses his job. Or I'm going to risk it for whatever, and he does it. Right. He's taken that risk premeditatively to himself. He's done the risk assessment in his head. He's running a chance. Absolutely. Right. Now, there is other scenarios, you know. You'd have to ask the guards for statistics. I'm sure a lot of these cars that's uninsured, they're probably forwarding people, and that's nothing to do with, not against forwarding people, and they probably can't get insurance in this country because of their residential. They're asking them for certain details, they don't have them, and they can't get insurance, blah, blah, blah. That could be a huge, that could be a cause for the rise in it as well. I'm not saying it is, but you'd have to ask the guardie about that. But what I'm trying to get at here is that it can happen that people do it. You know, it's all grand as that girl was saying.
But they are doing it, Seamus. And the fact of the matter is, as I made a point, Seamus, where you
just let him finish.
That you made the same
point there, Sean. Just let him finish his point.
Just let him make his point.
Sorry. So what I was saying is, we all pay a premium each year. And part of that premium, I forget what percentage it is for uninsured drivers. So basically, if you're hit on the road by an uninsured driver, you will get fixed up. Now, you may have to jump through a few more hoops than normal. It won't be as plain sailing. But there is a cover there that will cover you. And that is, the insurance companies do tell you that because of uninsured drivers, premiums have gone up. You know, so that's covered in any way. So that girl is, you will be covered if it's wrong, full stop. But you have to find out why something is wrong. Why are people doing it? It's no good saying it's wrong and that's it and stop it. You have to find the root cause of it. And the root cause...
So we have to fix the problem, James, as you said. But we have to, you know, take cars, take this. Well, what Mona said earlier on, AJ, and Seamus, what I want to say to you is, it's already taking cars and taking cars. Well, here, you can buy another car. You know, you do it all over again. what the root of the problem here is the insurance companies. And let's face it, lads, it is the insurance companies.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
nobody else is that.
Yeah.
You know, if we could afford, if everybody can afford an insurance premium at a decent rate, you know, well, sure, why not? It's out there for everybody. Let's make a, you know, a decent, you know, a fair play for all, you know.
That's what I said at the very beginning of it. You have to make it, I won't say easy, but you have to make it fair for people to do the right thing. So in order, the right thing is meaning to follow the law, is to follow, be insured in a car. Now, if you're asking an individual to pay astronomical figures, that's not being fair. And that is forcing, some people just give up the chase and say, I affect that, I'm not driving. But there are the cohort of people will take that 5-10% chance, especially where you're living. If you're living in the greater Dublin area, you have a higher probability. If you're living down the country, that probability drops off. Needless to say, same goes for speed and same goes for any kind of thing. You know, the less populated mm-hmm. area, the better chance you have of not being stopped or caught or whatever. But people still chance drinking and driving. They take that chance. Again, it's not right. Now, that's another, I wouldn't mm-hmm. agree with that at all. There's no excuse for that. But the point I'm making here is that, you know, it's very easy to turn around and say, yeah, people shouldn't do a full stop. But to fix any problem, you have to understand the root cause of the problem. The root cause, if you ask me, is the cost of insurance.
That makes perfect sense, Shane. And we do need to get to the root cause of it because it is a massive issue. And there's the fact is there's thousands of uninsured cars on the road at the moment. Yes, Sean.
I just wanted to point out another thing there, and I'm sure Seamus and Morris will agree with me as well. You know, everything is going up. You know, the price of an NCT, the price of a, you know, the national driver's license, everything is going up, you know, tax and, you know, the whole lot, everything, insurance, everything. But the fact of the matter that I haven't seen a break in anything, in what, I don't know, in about 5 years. You know, who's making all this money? Who's banking all this money? You know, same as the national toll road, same as, we're getting taxed to the hilt, guys. You know, everything is tax. We fuck on left in our pay packets at the end of the week, you know. And this is coming from me that you know, I'm feeling it. So I can only understand why somebody down the road in Ireland is saying, I'm not doing this. I can't do this.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Driving is expensive. Driving with everything that you've just said, with tolls, with insurance, with tax, everything. It's a very expensive thing to have to do. But it's to just say, oh, the prices are too high. Or people are paying their electricity and they're paying their gas. They're finding the money to do that. So people will just have to find their money to pay the insurance until...
They will, yeah, but of course they will. But the fact of the matter is, AJ, nobody, as I said to that lady there that was screaming and shouting there, you know,
yeah,
nobody's stepping into the corner there and fighting their battle here. And nobody's bringing it. Like, there's no need for this. As I said to you already, AJ, the claims are down literally 80%. They're gone down. They're gone.
Yeah.
There's no more getting 60 grand out of a car crash and 70 grand. Oh, my neck has hurt me. It's just, that's all gone. So where do they pass the savings on? The insurance companies did say that they will pass the savings on to drivers. Where is it? Where is it now?
Let me go to Jerry. Hi, Jerry. How are you?
Not bad at all.
Have you been listening in? You think the prices are too high as well?
I mean, absolutely. I mean, if you look at the actual profits that have just been published there a few days ago, they're up 8%. They made 8.1 billion last year. And I know that's over the whole group. The shareholders got an increase of 8% in the dividends. And yet they're screwing people, left, right and centre. Many years ago, I was involved with a group in the taxis, and we met, this is going back a good bit, we met Des O'Malley, who was Minister of Industry and Commerce at the time, about the cost of insurance. Its answer was that there's no laws or legislation covering insurance companies, and he had no intention of introducing them. So it was a known and successful government that allowed the cartel to operate and to screw everybody. So, I mean, there's been many suggestions over the years, which the government never ever implemented because they're making too much money over, and so are their mates, that the insurance be put onto petrol. And then everybody's insured, or diesel. And then everybody goes out in their car is insured. And that is never going to be implemented because some people are going to lose millions, if not billions, in profit. So there's no solution the government except to screw motorists.
That's but I don't solution. Even and think that, I mean, is there even any active conversation about it at the moment? I mean, is there? Like, are there any suggestions being put forward at the moment?
Well, those suggestions are there. And unfortunately, like one of your callers said there, there's no representatives of motorists in this country whatsoever. We have, now and again, we have Conor Faughan talking crap about how he wants to fight for motorists. No, he doesn't. He doesn't care. And anything he suggests, like, there's no lobby group out there fighting for motors, as we mentioned, toll bridges, VRT, which has been supposed to be taken away, I think it was 20 years ago, it's still in place, road tax, fuel, VAT, diesel. So, I mean, there's nobody out there lobbying on behalf of the motors, and all we're getting done with the motors is absolutely screwed. Our roads have been narrowed to provide for cyclists. I mean, I don't know, in my area alone, and I'm actually a driving instructor, and I've been around a lot of places, and the roads have been totally taken away from motorists to provide for cyclists. So there's
absolutely
no cyclists on the Breeden roads.
You don't see
absolutely
the cyclists, yeah.
We're
exactly
kissing wing mirrors.
And Gerry, you said you're a driving instructor. So do you think it's difficult then for the young drivers, the new drivers, like Shane was pointing out, to be able to get on the road with the cost of insurance at the moment?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's very disheartening. I mean, you look at young people. I mean, they can't go on the road until they get a full licence. I've instructed, and obviously it's got to do with their natural ability as well. It's not all about me. They've extremely good drivers, very safe. They're not going through full instruction, 12 EDT lessons. In some cases, they go to 24 or 36 EDT lessons, which costs them a fortune, because they don't have anybody to, the mum or dad to bring them out to get practice. So they have to keep moving the EDT lessons, and which costs them a fortune. It costs them about €1,500 to €2,000 to get these lessons.
So they're having to spend it on the lessons. The amount of money that it's costing them to try and get on the road is just pushing them out of it, really. And as you said, they are careful drivers because they're new drivers and they're wanting to do their best, basically.
Well, I'm out looking at these young drivers now, right? And the ones I'm teaching, and I'm going to most instructors, I'm going to say the majority of instructors are teaching, they've been taught safety, and that's a big part of instructors. It's not all about passing your test. It's about the driving the road safely, even after your test. So it's not all about getting a driving test. And that's what we're engaged in, and that's what we're engaged to do, to teach safe driving. And I'm looking at other drivers in the road with the full licences, and there's literally nobody policing them, literally nobody. And then young drivers go to get insured. They've been charged $2,000 or $3,000, in some cases more. If they drive for 4 or 5 years without an accident, are the insurance company going to give them a refund? No, they won't. Not a hope in hell. But you'll have a driver that's been driving for years and causing mayhem, and they're getting insurance for €400 or €500.
That's a good point, Gerry. Sean, just before I go to the ads, go ahead, Sean.
I just wanted to say, fair play to Gerry. You have to make some very great points, Gerry. Fair play to you. You know, and the thing about it is, Gerry, I've done everything right there by my adult kids, you know. There's one thing I've done, Gerry, as well. They got their driving lessons. They got everything, Gerry. And the insurance premiums were so high, Gerry, that I ended up putting them on my insurance. And they had to wait for a year to just to get the, you know, the driver's name driving experience, Gerry. So they could go out on their own, because they were being priced out, Gerry, as you said. You know,
it's absolutely
disgusting, Gerry. You know, and it is a cesspit. You know, they're all making money, AJ. They're all rubbing their hands together. And AJ, I don't remember if you ever remember the insurance ads. I'm sure you do, Gerry, as well, because you're the driving guy. You know, there was an insurance ad years ago, and there was a girl on the phone and a guy on the phone, and if you rang for an insurance company, and I don't know what insurance company that rang it out, and they were saying, it's a 2 liter, and they were all laughing, you know. You know, I'm sure one of your researchers will get the ad for you. And, you know, it was just a mockery of this insurance company was making a mockery of all the other insurance companies on how much they were loading premiums. And that was years ago. Look at it now. You're a young driver. Oh, yeah, what are you, 19? Yeah. Have you full life? No, well, provisions. Oh, jeez. You know, they're clapping their hands together when they hear these guys coming along. And, look, they're insured to go out on the road. even though they don't have a full license driver, as Murray said, with them, they're still insuring them. You know, and then along come the Gardaí. So, you, another one, AJ, before you go, real quick. How can I be with somebody full-time? They're at the passing. They have a full license, okay? They're at the passing all the lessons that they were asked to do. But you want me to be with somebody in a car, okay, that has a full license for what, a year? Now, here's one thing I wanted to say to you, AJ, and to you as well, Jerry. What am I meant to do in an accident with them Pearsons in that car? Pull up a handbrake? Grab the steering wheel? What am I meant to do? And I've said this before with Niall Boylan.
I think it's just to give them
ridiculous.
Sean, you know, like just guidance and support, like because they are a new driver.
So yeah, hold on for a minute. We're coming into a car crash. What are we meant to do? Well, this is what my point is, though, Kyle.
AJ, when as an instructor, and all instructors carry the legal requirement, we can't even get insurance unless you have fuel control in the cars. And that chap is perfectly right. He doesn't have fuel
control. Thank you, Jerry.
Stop a car. I can stop a car. I have a clutch pedal and a brake pedal. I can also take control of the steering. That's what we're trying to do. I don't know, and somebody can correct me. I only know of one instructor in all my times instructing having an accident. And the reason why he had an accident was he got out of the car and left the lane and driving on his own, doing a 3-point turn and she ran into a wall. But I don't know any instructor.
I need dual pedals with my son or daughter driving the car, because otherwise I'm no good to them as a full licensed driver of 25 years. Because what am I to do, Jerry? Pull up the handbrake, grab the steering wheel. Like, you know, it just doesn't make sense, guys. Honestly, and I'm always going to rubbish that. You need a full licensed driver with you. I don't believe it for 1 minute. I really don't.
The tax collectors.
Stay there with me, guys. I just have to go to the ads. We're just talking about uninsured drivers. If you want to get involved, WhatsApp 087-188-0008. I'll be going to you, Ruben, after the break. Welcome back to Nighttime Talk with myself, AJ Walsh, filling in for Niall Boylan. I'm just going to go to Ruben now. We're talking about uninsured drivers. So, Ruben, you're a learner driver and you're finding it hard to get a full licence.
So, the problem is, I've done all my lessons and there's a 10-month waiting list. I'm unsure when I drive to work.
Yeah, there's a massive backlog at the moment. Jerry, you'd be able to help with this because you're a driving instructor.
Yeah, the reason why there's a massive backlog at the moment, which RSA have a monopoly on driving testing. And there's been suggestion. It was even brought up in the Dáil about instructors being able to take over some of the driving tests.
Because
you are qualified to do it. And the RSA have pushed back against that.
I went for the bike licence, right? So motorbike licence. And all I have to do is get a couple of hours of lessons and I can drive away on my own. Why it had to be the same for a car?
So how many, I can't remember, it's been so long. How many lessons do you have to do? And then
You have to do 12 essential 12. Driving lessons.
For a car.
You have to do 12. For a car, but I mean, you still have to do a driving test on your motorbike, you know that?
Yeah, you still have to do a driving test, but I take 6 to 12 hours of lessons and I can jump on and drive away. I'm fully insured.
Ruben, have you done your 12 lessons for driving and you're literally just waiting now for a test?
Yeah, and it could be 8 to 12 months. You don't know.
And you've no idea.
The problem that is, AJ.
Yeah.
The big problem with this is, like in Dublin and some of the big cities like Cork or Galway, but mainly Dublin, I just say Dublin because we'd be probably better, even though it's not adequate enough by far, a pretty reasonable transport system with the loos and the buses or whatever and taxis and all that type of stuff. You imagine parents down the country in isolated areas, or not even in rural areas, that has a child just qualified for college, has to go to college wherever they have to go, or travel, or to walk, by the way, doesn't matter where they walk, could be outside of town, they have no way of getting there, and they could have a provisional licence, and can't get a full licence for 8 to 10 months, so they take a chance, get into the car, and they're stopped by a guard, and they get the car taken off, and a massive fine, and penalty points. So why, my question is, why is the RSA allowing this to happen? They were supposed to be split in two, and they haven't been split into independent crowds before they go over the driving testing. They haven't allowed it to happen. And each time, the driving test has gone up, they think it's a €95 now. So each time somebody who needs to do the to do a driving test, it's costing €95. So it's a big money racket.
So it's €95 to do the driving test or to apply? Sorry, Jerry.
To apply for your driving test on top of your 12 EDT lessons. If you're good enough and you're getting practice with your parents or your brothers or your partners, whoever, the 12 EDT lessons may be enough if you're getting practice in between the lessons. But if you're not getting that practice, you're going to need more than 12 lessons. You're probably going to need double that, and that's going to cost you at least €1,000.
So, Ruben, are you able to get practice with your parents or whoever?
Yeah, I was, but see, I have to travel to work because it's far. I can't wake up my mother's and my brother's at 6 o'clock in the morning to go to work. So I just have to take a chance.
So how are you getting to work then, Ruben?
I'm driving, but like I have to take a chance on the provision, and it's because there's so much of a backlog. Why can't they do it like the motorbike, where you just do a couple of hours of lessons, they say, yeah.
I do definitely think it's important that we do have driving tests. And obviously, Jerry, I think you'll agree with that. It's very important that you have the set amount of lessons and that you have the driving test that's in place to make sure that everybody on the road is driving properly and not driving, you know, like they're up to scratch, basically.
It's a very good point. What he's basically saying is right.
Ruben, just let Jerry talk there. Go ahead, Jerry.
That's happened on the motorbike. When you do your lessons on the motorbike, the middle of the doing the motorbike lessons, you're legally able to drive on an L plate without anybody else on your motorbike. You do 12 lessons in the car, you have to wait for your driving test before you legally drive unaccompanied.
I understand.
There's a big difference between the motorbike and the car.
Okay. Are you saying that once people have done their lessons, they should be able to drive on their own?
My bit of a forfeiture there would be after the 12 ET lessons, the instructor should be able to sign off on it and then let them apply for the driving test. Because there's some, obviously, learner drivers I'm teaching at the moment, after 12 lessons, not good enough, and I wouldn't sign them off.
I got you. Yeah, okay. Is that what you mean? That maybe then the driving instructor could have signed you off so that you would be able to drive whilst you're waiting for your driving test?
Yeah. So, with a motorbike, you do a certain amount of lessons, and then they say, you're fit to drive, you know?
I get you. Yeah. No, that makes sense. Yeah. That makes perfect sense. Let me just go to Dara. Dara's waiting on the line. Hi, how are you?
Well, AJ.
How are you doing? You wanted to ask Sean why he's paying insurance on 3 different vehicles. I think it's because he's paying for his kids.
What? No. I'm just asking, what's everyone's insurance costing? Because I don't understand how someone in their 40s and 50s, their insurance is not under €1,000. What's everyone paying like?
I think people are paying absolutely through the roof. Me as a new driver
on a Toyota Corolla 1.4 is nearly €2,600.
You're paying €2,600.
That's a joke.
Dara, did you say you're paying €2,600?
No, Ruben said that.
Oh, okay.
I'm paying insurance on 3 cars.
Oh, okay.
And I don't really have any bad things to say about insurance, but people, where I work, there's insurance cars coming in the whole time, and people claim when there's only a little tap on the car, and all it takes is a bit of communication with the person that they're after tipping into to go to a scrapyard, and the chances are that the parts are probably in the scrapyard. Save all the hassle of going through insurance, and all the hassle of your insurance premium going up because you claimed. I just don't understand it.
I've seen that personally. Sorry, Jerry, go ahead.
The price of garage is charged for repairs. The price of garage is charged for repairs. That's another rip-off.
All the new cars.
I'm talking about old cars. I'm a mechanic by trade, by the way, as well, and I work with family beers. And I know what family beers are charging to repair cars, and it's a rip-off, an absolute rip-off.
Yeah, but
and
you sure old, like how old it. Are you talking? When you say old cars, how old, like?
I'm talking even a 2020 car.
That's not old.
You don't have to be driving in an EV. Okay, 2,131 car, they're going with the market value, and you get the market value of cartel. So if you have 131, just an example of Ford Focus, it's worth €5,000, and you can get that written off if it's more than two-thirds of the damage, because the garage has said the price of that repair is more than two-thirds of the car's
worth. Economical write-off.
But it's not an economic record. I've got cars repaired that were written off for €500.
Yeah, but the insurance don't care, but the insurance write them off for nothing. It's cheaper for the insurance to write them off, pay out, and then get the money back from the sales of the cars, the scrapyards. Of all the breakers, all the Cat Bs.
My point being that the garages are charging extravagant fees to fix the cars, which are not going to be paid off insurance.
Everyone's gone up. Most garages now are charging €80 an hour.
But you're lucky. Again, if
you're lucky, In Dublin, it'll be more. In Dublin, it's probably 100.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and the rest. Well, I mean, the point, AJ, I just want to make with insurance, I mean, that's the reason why people are driving around, because they've no choice. They've literally no choice, and especially that young fella going to work on his L plates. That's one example. There's other people, and we all know young people. They're up in court every day of the week. Young people.
Well, unless you're the town in this country, whatsoever. You need to drive. You need to have a car unless you live in a town in this country.
That is the truth. I mean, everybody does need to drive. Guys, I've got to go to the news. Do stay with me if you want. We can carry this on after the news. If you've got a few minutes, stay with me. Adam, stay with me and I'll be with you after the news. Sorry, I didn't have time to get to you before the news.
I got to go.
If you've got to go, that's fine. Don't worry. But if anyone can stay, you can stay on the line. We will continue it after the break because there's a lot of calls coming in. If you do want to get involved in this, we're talking about uninsured drivers and the cost of insurance. The number is 087-188-0008. If you want to send us a WhatsApp, we'll get you on the air. We're going to go to the news. We'll be back after this and I'll be talking to Adam. Welcome back to Nighttime Talk with myself, AJ Walsh, sitting in for Niall Boylan tonight. We're talking about uninsured drivers and I've got a message in here from a listener. It says, your contributor Jerry asked the question, why is this allowed to happen? The answer is very simple. The RSA is another multi-million costing unaccountable NGO. There is no one held to account and successive governments have kept it all that way. All responsibility is put on the motorists. We pay a fortune in every regard for the necessity of driving. So there you go. I'm going to go to Adam now because he's been waiting patiently since before the news. Hi, Adam. How are you? Welcome to Nighttime Talk.
I'm good, thank you.
So you said if you can't afford a Range Rover, does that give you a right to walk into the dealership and take one?
That seems to be the logic that people are using. Well, I can't afford the insurance, so it's fine, just drive without. But that's just a flippant comment. There's been a lot of points raised over the last 10, 15 minutes or so, one of which was, well, I can have a few lessons on a bike and then ride a bike. You can, but in fairness, they're heavily restricted as to what you can ride. You can't just do 6 lessons, jump on a super bike. You have to ride a very small engine bike. The bigger issue for me here, though, is if people begin their driving experience and choose not to pay their insurance, they're never going to pay insurance. Because that insurance is never going to drop. So they're going to go their entire driving career without paying any insurance. And I'm paying for that. You're paying for that. We can't all sit here and say, well, it's not fair on new drivers. And at the same time, want our premiums to become more affordable. Because somebody has to pay for it. At the end of the day, an insurance company is a business. They want to make profit.
How come accessing profits increased by 8% this year up to $8.1 billion. So who's paying for it? We're paying for their profits. That's what we're paying for.
That's what a business is designed to do. They're doing their job and their responsibility to their shareholders, which is to generate as much profit as possible.
So there's literally no morals whatsoever.
But in the same way, a driving instructor's job is to get their students through a driving test. If a driving instructor wasn't doing that job and wasn't getting people through a test, you would expect them to not be a driving instructor anymore. The CEO of an insurance company's job is to secure profit for his investors.
I do, Adam, I do completely agree with you. People 100% should be paying insurance. It's illegal not to pay insurance. It's illegal to drive, sorry, without insurance. 100%. I think what people are just saying, people are just a bit upset with how much profit these companies are making, that it's actually unethical and there's no savings being passed down. Now, I do feel like, yes, a lot of people are sort of making excuses like, oh, you know, they can't afford it. They can't get on the ladder. I can see why people are driving without insurance. It's still not right at the end of the day. And if you are going to drive a car, it is an expense that you just have to take into account.
I agree. And a lot of the very same people that say their insurance is ridiculously expensive. Insurance is expensive. But when we're talking about the people that are coming up with the new driver insurance quotes at 1,800 quid, 2,000 for the year, yeah? They can't afford it, but they're the very same people that will go out and take a brand new iPhone that's costing them 720 or 800 euros a year. Like, you can afford 70 or 80 quid a month for your phone, which means nothing. There's no danger to anybody, but you cannot afford 150 a month for your car.
You're generalising. You're literally generalising. You're generalising now. That's not. There's no facts or figures to back your those statements up.
Give me a fact on the. You tell me the fact on the average car insurance payment in Ireland.
Well, at the moment, for young people, it's between 3,000 euros.
Average insurance.
We'll look that up now, Adam. We'll look up what the average insurance payment is. But I mean, I remember when I started driving, my insurance premiums were pretty high. I started like but I made allowances for that. I knew that that was going to be the cost of my insurance. Now, I was driving a banger because it only cost me 500 euro.
And you see, here is the difference.
And that's where I balanced it out.
Here is the difference. When I started driving, the average new driver was doing exactly that. They were driving around in their mum and dad's maybe old car. They were driving around in a 15, 16-year-old car. You look now at the roads and see how many 18, 19-plate Golfs, Polos have got N plates in the back of them. Everybody, because car finance has become so easy to get, people are driving around as new drivers in high-end cars, but they just don't want to insure them.
Yeah, I
do. The simple answer
is... That is a good point. Like, my first car was a 1989 Opel Corsa, and like I say, it cost 500 euro. My insurance was astronomical when I first started, but as I paid it, as I went on down through the years, it came down and came down and came down. Now, at the moment, it's really, really high. It's just all of a sudden jumped, and I don't know why. There's nothing on it. I have no penalty points, nothing like that. I've just got here, so it's 1,400 to 1,500 for a new driver now, for insurance.
Yeah, a new driver...
And that was about what mine was back millions of years ago.
1,200.
I'm getting quotes, AJ. I don't know where them figures are coming from. Probably from insurance company or the government. Because the average price, from what I'm seeing from my students, they're getting quotes between 2,500 to 3,000 euro.
I would well believe that is the case as well, Jerry. But I just think that the point is that is the cost, unfortunately. And it is illegal to drive without insurance. So it is just something that...
Of course. But I'll give you an example of something, AJ. I listened to the news there, right, on your own station during the ad break. It gives you an example of what this government cares. A lot more serious issue arose today. Unfortunate that young man being stabbed, okay? But they couldn't complete the Dáil proceeding today because they hadn't got a quorum of five in the Dáil. They don't care about you. So if they don't care about...
I do agree. Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. They can't even have a conversation about something incredibly serious without, you know, decorum issues. You know,
my point being, if they can't even bother turning up for something like that, they've no interest in the young people in insurance. That's my point. That they've literally no interest. They don't care. So they're never going to change that. And unfortunately, that's going to be the case until somebody comes in and says, the insurance company are not going to hold a monopoly. They're not going to hold a cartel like with the price fixing, and that's actually going on, price fixing in insurance companies, and nobody's done anything about it. They're just going to keep letting them make profit after profit after profit. And as I said, young people that are paying the higher premiums, and a lot of them are, because if they are driving on a new Golfs, they say, I can guarantee you they're insured. I guarantee you they're insured now with those cars. They're not driving around uninsured. And
most of them driving on printed insurance. So.
After they've done the 2 or 3 years, they won't get any refund off the insurance company. Not a single cent.
But they do get a refund.
Adam, go ahead there.
They do get a refund, though, because their insurance premiums drop moving forward.
They used to, though, Adam. I don't know if they are coming down now. I'll be honest.
They are coming down.
Okay.
You're not still paying exactly... You're not still paying €1,800 a year after 4 years driving if you've had no issues.
You're not getting a refund. That's different. You're getting a discount. You're not getting a refund.
So in your opinion, should everybody pay the same insurance premium? Regardless of experience, regardless of qualifications, you're a driving instructor, correct?
Yeah.
So you're an advanced driver. So you believe you're the same risk as somebody who has passed their test yesterday. You believe they're the same standard of driver as you are.
What I'm saying is do you believe
they're the same standard of driver as you?
Obviously, I'm a professional driver, Adam, so it's completely different.
I'm a professional driver. No, the question was, should everybody pay exactly the same premiums? You said yes.
But you're an advanced driver,
therefore you should have exactly the same... You should have a cheaper premium than somebody who passed yesterday.
Well, I have to say now, I give an example of something, right? And this is right across the board for driving instructors. Now, you think of something... We're in a high-risk job with learner drivers because you have them on the road. But as I said, we're fully... The learner drivers are fully safe and secure in the characters. We've dual controls. And we're trained to look after them. Fully trained, and we're totally aware of what's going on the road around. We see things before anybody else sees them. That's what we're trained to do. My insurance, and this is how much insurance can we trust instructors. My insurance is only €600 a year. And that's a high-risk job. So I'm bringing out people who have never, ever driven a car in their lives.
But you also have control of that vehicle. As an advanced driver, you're in control of that vehicle.
Well, absolutely. What I'm saying, my insurance is pretty cheap. But when I train these, I would say, with the exception of the experience that the learner driver is going to get when they're on the road themselves, I would train them up to my standard. And that's my honest opinion.
I don't know, Jerry, how you can say a new driver would be up to the same standard. Can I just say, I've just worked out now, my insurance premium now, I'd say when I started it was about 1,500 and now I'm down to 780. So I'm paying 780 for my car insurance. Which is still a lot. I mean, it's still a lot. And I've never had a claim, never anything like that. Let me go to Rob. Hi, Rob. How are you doing?
Good night to you. AJ, how are you? Are you well?
Yeah, good.
I'm just listening here. Interesting conversation. I mean, this is something that... This insurance evasion and what have you has been pretty much here 50, 60 years, at least. Every year. You know?
Rob, what do you think about people who aren't paying insurance and just saying that the premiums are too high? Adam made a really good point there. It's just about, you know, if you're going to drive, that is going to be the cost. You can't go around and drive without insurance, which I agree with.
No, it's true enough. You can't. And morally, you shouldn't either, by the way. Or wherever, you know, if you have any sense of any honour, you should at least be thinking of that.
But there's thousands of cars on the road driving without insurance, Rob.
But people will, though. This is a horrible thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they go out and they buy the car and they realise they need a couple of grand for insurance then because they're a young person, you know. And they're going to be snookered. And I'm not taking that into account.
But they need to. They'll just have to take it into account because it just is the way it is. And driving without insurance is just a massive risk.
I know that, AJ. I know that. Of course, you're right. But people will. And they'll take the chance.
Can you answer me, what does a young person do in a rural area that has no transport? I'm not talking about, I totally agree, but you should be insured as well. I'm 100% behind that as well.
you should be insured. The unfortunate thing is, I'll give you an example of you're not insured in a different scenario. You're not insured as a learner driver to drive unaccompanied. So a learner driver in a rural area that has no other choice to get to work or college because they don't want to wait till daddy's up, or the daddy and mammy is probably in work somewhere and they're not around. How do they get to the college at the work? I just want to, somebody, some minister or somebody answer me that.
The same thing could be said for what happens if they keep on failing the driving test. So should we just void the driving test because they live rural?
No, of course you should have a driving test. What I'm saying is, but if they should...
I agree with what you're saying, that if they live rural, the mentality is, well, I have to get to college. But if they are, if they've been in for four driving tests and failed all four, whether they pay insurance or not is irrelevant. Should we just say, oh, well, it's fine, you live rural, you don't need to do a driving test, because how are you going to get to college?
No, that's a type of difference. I'm talking about
it's illegal to drive without a driving license.
No, but what I'm saying is...
Most people would say, right, you haven't got a driving license, you cannot drive. You've had no lessons, you cannot drive. It's against the law. I don't care where you live. And most people would support that statement.
Oh, I agree with you. But
driving with no insurance is against the law. Driving in without insurance, crashing into my car, means I have a claim against me.
I totally agree with you. No, everybody should be insured. Everybody. 100% agree with you. But to try to solve the problem, and to try to solve the problem is to get rid of the 10-month waiting list for young drivers, to try and get them on the road, to get them cheap insured. Because, by the way, when you get your full license, your insurance comes down. So if you're a named driver, like, and you go on mammy and daddy's car, it's going to cost, it could cost you €1,200 as a named driver. So what I'm saying to you is there should be something put in place, which I said, instructors, like what they do with the motorbikes, should be able to sign off a learner driver. Okay, he's good enough to drive on his own. He needs to do his test reasonably, in a reasonable length of time, like 6 weeks. Not 8 to 10 months, but a snooker.
I would say
you're doing absolutely nothing to resolve that issue. Literally nothing.
I agree with you on parts of that, but would you support the fact that if they brought that in, that there were strict conditions on,
absolutely,
one, the type of vehicle they can drive, and two, that they can't drive with passengers?
I don't know with the passenger bit, but I'll give you another example of the ridiculous...
That's the key part to a motorbike license, isn't it? They're not allowed to drive a civilian passenger.
Okay, I'd probably go along with that, and that's a good valid point you're making there. That's a valid point, so I'd probably agree with that. But it means, just an example. Sorry, go ahead.
Yes, go on.
Rob, go ahead there.
I'm just curious, does anybody know what kind of percentage of people, as regards number of drivers, are not insured on any given day?
Yeah, so I've got the statistic here from 2022. It was 8.3% of private vehicles, so it was an equivalent to 1 in 12. That's 2022. Yeah. So it was over nearly 188,000 cars on the road.
Wow.
That's a lot. That is a lot.
It's a lot, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a lot. And it's definitely something that we need to look at because, you know, moving forward, it's not ideal.
What I would say as well, you also have a percentage of Ukrainian drivers who have no insurance necessities in Ireland either. With our cars, you know.
So as far as I understand, their cars are here.
They're insured in Ukraine.
They are here lawfully. So I don't know.
Oh,
what...
lawfully here, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's lawful, yeah.
So the,
it's the same as us driving over to Spain. We're insured on our own insurance. Some of them won't have insurance, don't get me wrong, but in the same way that...
You're insured to drive in the other country. Guys, I am going to have to leave it there. One more point there, Adam, and then I'm going to have to go to the ads.
To me, the solution to all of this is to make sure that we're penalising people when they get caught. Not we're taking the car off them, because you take a car that's worth €1,000 off them, €2,000, just buy another one. It should be very, very simple. There should be, when you get caught, they should do an insurance quote on how much that would cost, and then your fine should be 5 times the insurance cost, and that needs to be paid within 12 months, whether it's stopped direct from your benefits or direct from your wages. That will make people realise. that you need insurance. It isn't worth driving with no insurance.
Thank you so much for that, Adam. Thanks, Jerry. Thanks, Rob. And thanks to everybody else who got involved. That was an uninsured drivers.
Now, real people, real opinions, Nighttime Talk.
Ireland's classic hits radio.